Hey, so welcome to the second episode, and this one I really, really wanted to talk about, like, the school difference, the academic differences, and the social differences about being in a Japanese university and then being in an American university. And once again, like, I've only been here for less than 6 months, and this is just what I've experienced, and of course, like, I'm just, you know, life through my own eyes, all that good stuff. So just to reintroduce things, like, I am here for what will be a 6 month stay in university in Japan in the Kanazawa area, and then I will go back to America. And I've been at my American university for I'll be a fourth year by the time I return, and the biggest difference for me, I would say, is just the vibe of the campuses, the two campuses, meaning my campus at home in America and my campus here in Japan. Now, my American school is also on a hill, but not on a mountain. And there are things happening all the time, like different clubs doing things all the time, like events going on all the time, activities for everyone happening every moment, it feels like, of the day. If you have free time, there is a way to feel it. There are emails, there are groups that you can join, club activities that you can join that will send you out periodic emails, like almost daily emails. And some of them, they're like chain emails that just keep going and going and going, and then you try to unsubscribe, and there's like a loophole you have to jump through to unsubscribe from them. And then we have this massive club fair activity, you know, for freshmen. It's for everyone, but, you know, the target is, like, you know, how many freshmen can we get into our club, you know, that kind of thing. But you can join at any point in time. It's not a huge commitment depending on the club that you're in. So there's just something happening all the time. And now with my experience here, is I'm sure that there are a lot of things happening on this campus all the time. Like, it has to be, it's university. But there, being an international student, the school here is not as prepared for handling international students as my American school, and a lot of American schools are. You know, like, I get emails, and a lot of them are in just Japanese, and I'm just looking at straight, like, rows of kanji sometimes. And kanji is the kind of pictographic writing system that Japan uses. It looks almost exactly like Chinese characters, if you've ever seen them. And actually kanji was, like, borrowed from China, and then Japan, like, adapted a few of their own. So sometimes I'm just looking at all of that, and I'm like, well, I can read, like, maybe 4 sentences of this, and after reading those 4 sentences, I'm just like, I'm tired, and I'm not going to try to figure out whatever the rest of this is. And that being said, like, my Japanese level is pretty good, and some of the kanji are just really specific, or what we call, like, the word is Semon Yogo, which means, like, really specialized vocabulary, I think. If anyone out there is speaking Japanese and wants to correct me, please feel free. I can use the help. so the emails are, a lot of them are just in Japanese. A lot of the clubs that you can join, like, everyone's speaking Japanese, so there's definitely a barrier there. Some clubs are, like, really open to, you know, everyone joining, and then you just have to get acclimated. You know, and I think that's, I mean, it's the same in America. Like, if you come to America and you can't, if you come to an American university and you can't speak the language very well, you know, it's going to be really difficult for you. But I have also had stories of my friends getting turned down from clubs because, this was not set out right, but this was, like, kind of like, oh, you're the foreign person, it's really hard for us to kind of fit to what you're, like, accommodate for you, so maybe it's best if you don't join, or maybe it's best if, you know, you do your thing over here and we do our thing over here, that kind of vibe. And I've never experienced that. I've never ever had that situation before. Most of the people that I've been around have always been really open to me. So I think in the beginning, like, the vibe is just very different. The kind of atmosphere is very different. Students here are, you know, clubs are very much more strict here. You join a club and it's like you're in. Like, you meet and you're in. In America, they're much more lax. Like, it's what you have time for. You put in the time that you have. But a club here is like a commitment. So it's a bit of a different vibe. Just the atmosphere, and how lax clubs are in America and how lax the campus is in America. For example, you could have a party, like a lot of people live on the campuses in most American universities, so parties and things like that are pretty common. Drinking on campus is pretty common. In Japan, there's no law against like open drinking, but I'm pretty sure you can't just like walk into your classroom here and just like have a beer, you know, that's probably super illegal. Or, you know, walking through like a really public area on campus is frowned upon if you're just having a beer. But, you know, in my dormitory, of course, you can have alcohol, you know, that kind of stuff. Actually, don't quote me on that. I'm not sure if I'm allowed. But I don't think it's a problem because we've had like parties on campus that are sponsored by the RAs here, you know, like with the university name on like Kanazawa opening party that have had like alcohol. So I don't think it's illegal. But yikes, you know, whatever. Anyway, but you know, in America, it's like illegal to have the alcohol on campus, but you know, everyone does it. Everyone goes to parties, you know, it's not, it is what it is. But here, parties are not so much a thing. Not so much a thing here. They're, especially not the parties that we have in America. There are no red clubs flying around. There's no beer pong. There are no sticky floors and tables, usually, unless people are getting really rowdy. And the parties are usually for like really special occasions, like opening welcome party or closing ceremony party, etc., etc. Christmas party, maybe Halloween party, I don't know, something like that. Probably not a Halloween party because that's really American, but I don't know. I wasn't here last semester, so maybe they did. And then, like I said in another segment somewhere in the first episode, that a lot of people don't live on campus. Usually international students are live on the campus, so most Japanese students just go to their apartments or to their house with their families once they are done with classes, and that just kind of muddles any potential party situation. Because usually, you know, in America we have parties when a bunch of, you know, like college students get together and they're like, hey, I'm not going home this weekend, you know, I live kind of far away. Like, I came from the Midwest to the East Coast, so, and I don't think I'm really planning to return to the West, to the Midwest, so, you know, my mind is like set on either being in the East Coast or living abroad after graduation, or maybe the West Coast, which I've never even been to, but you know, whatever. So that's just like where I am. But what I mean to say is that, you know, when everyone's on campus together, there's a potential for party, for hangouts, for things like that. But not so much here unless you're actively putting yourself into clubs, or, you know, clubs meaning after school activities, after school groups and things like that. So it really, it's not the same ease of meeting people, you know, because really parties and alcohol is like a social lubricant, whatever. And there are ways that social lubrication happens, and I'll get to that in the next segment. But yeah, this one's already getting up to be almost 8 minutes and 30 seconds. So yeah, what I want to say is just like the vibe of meeting people and the vibe of the campuses are very, very different. Another difference that struck me actually was the inclusion of, I don't know what to call these things. Basically, even in American universities, we have, you know, key cards, identification cards that maybe you have to like take into your dining hall, or you have to use to get into your building, things like that. But in Japan, you have a key card, and I use it to get into my dorm room, but I also use it for when I go to class. So they check attendance by you kind of flashing your key card over this this kind of scanner. And then when it beeps, that is how they, you know that you've come to class. And to kind of combat people just like walking in, beeping their card and then dipping out, some of the professors also take attendance. So you're kind of, attendance is like really important here, which I thought was so interesting, because in America, some professors, of course, keep attendance, and some professors really do not care if you come or if you don't come. Like, it's very much like it's your grade, you learn the material or you don't learn the material. And when it comes to the test, if you fail, then that's kind of like, you know, it's your fate. Like, you took it upon yourself, you reap what you sow kind of deal. And you know, some professors know that like students won't come to class, or some professors don't put a lot of emphasis on lecture style teaching, so they upload everything online or like, hey, like you don't come to class, like that's fine, just make sure you either have someone take your notes for you or you check out the online portal and you like, you know, download everything, make sure to do that. But here, they don't, I mean, they upload slides sometimes, but attendance is like a bigger deal here. Like you miss a certain number of classes and you could fail a class. And I have like friends, Japanese freshman friends, who say like there are classes that freshmen have to take and they have to be in attendance for, and if they miss like one class or something then they fail, which I think is crazy. Unexcused absence, I should say. Yeah, so that was really interesting to me, because I'm a big fan of the American style system. Like it's my education, so I feel like if I come to class, the option of being able to not go to class or to go to class is something that I like. I can't say that I would never purposely skip class, but the option to be able to have that kind of control over my education is really freeing for me. Just having the option to go or to not to go. But in the Japanese system, I feel like I have to go to every class because the attendance meter is always, you know, it's going. And that's a little weird for me. I feel like it's a little like strict authority kind of situation. However, I don't knock it necessarily. Maybe this is the way to get students more engaged in education. Like, hey, you have to come, so you might as well make the most of it while you're here. Maybe that's that kind of way of thinking. I don't know, but that's another interesting difference. Difference, I think, kind of going to the education system, not necessarily university style education system, but more like middle school, elementary school, maybe high school too, I'm not really sure. But Japanese, I think elementary school students and middle school students don't have cafeterias in their schools. Instead, the food is like brought to their homeroom kind of classroom situation, and they all eat together there. And for a lot of schools, I think like the statistics are really high. Like the government pays for the lunching systems throughout the country for a lot of elementary school and middle schools. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the information that I got within one of my Japanese home economics classrooms, where it's kind of lunch is like a part of the curriculum. And some days the elementary school students or the middle school students take turns like kind of pushing a cart of food into the classroom, and then they help distribute the food. So they're kind of learning how to, like, where the food comes from a little bit, like also like what the cafeteria workers go through when they're serving food. And they also learn a lot about healthy food choices, because the Japanese like school lunch system is a lot healthier than I think a lot of American schools. I was very lucky, and especially in high school and in my university. And you know, I was actually really, really lucky growing up, because my parents either would always make lunch for me when I was really, really little, or you know, they would give me money to go buy something that I could bring into my lunch. My mom was always very careful about like, you're really gonna put that like soda in your lunchbox? No, you're not gonna drink that kind of thing. So I mean occasionally when I was little I would drink soda and things like that, but I don't touch soda these days. Like I can't, just doesn't, I don't know, the bubbles hit the back of my throat and I'm like, can't do it. So I was always really used to more healthier styles of eating that really progressed when I was in high school and college and had more options. But I think Japanese students have a really, really healthier diet style when they're in elementary and middle school. Like, I don't think they have vending machines that sell pop and chips and things like that. And yeah, so I think that's really interesting, especially the part about kind of cooperation and teamwork, where the students are distributing the meals themselves, and they're not in a big cafeteria where it's like can be kind of loud and noisy, but they're in a smaller classroom setting with their classmates eating together and kind of enjoying getting to know each other. So I thought that was really interesting. And I think it does have something to do with kind of building a sense of morale for like your class, your homeroom, your classroom, and just like the people around you too. And I think that sense of cooperation really contributes to the Japanese kind of, I'll get into this more later, and this kind of goes a bit into my research, which I also want to talk about later, but I think all these activities that Japanese students, and this is generalization, but Japanese students do when they're younger kind of contribute to the cooperational spirit that is really big in Japan, kind of this do it together, we're all kind of together, everyone cooperates, no one sticks out too far kind of idea that is present in America in some ways, but is not present in America in some ways. And I think that's really fascinating. On the topic of Japanese food, I thought it'd be interesting to talk about what kind of foods I like while I'm here in Japan. So essentially, I really can eat anything. When I was little, I used to eat shrimp a lot. Like, my mom would always like fry it or something like that. I have an aunt who absolutely cannot stand any shellfish. She's like really religious and kind of has this thing for like anything in the Bible that says you shouldn't eat. She has an allergic reaction to it. I kind of think it's a mental thing, but to each their own. I used to eat shrimp when I was little, and then once my mom cooked, I think it was maybe 8 or 10, and I bit into it and my lips swelled a little bit. And then we went to the hospital and they were like, you know, you might have allergic reaction. Like, you might have had allergic reaction, but you're probably fine. And then my mom was like, oh, you're probably fine, so I'll just keep making shrimp. But I was really kind of afraid of eating shrimp again, so I just didn't eat it. And when I would eat a little bit of shrimp, my lip would kind of tingle a little bit. So I think it's totally a psychological thing. Now, if I eat a little, like, it doesn't happen with any other shellfish. Like, I'm totally fine with any other shellfish. It's just when I put shrimp on my lip and it tingles a little bit. If I eat a lot of it, it'll tingle. And I'll be like, because in my mind, I'll be thinking, like, oh gosh, maybe I shouldn't eat this. And then, you know, it'll start tingling. So it's totally psychological, I think. That being said, I don't eat shrimp a lot. So when I'm at a sushi place, I really, really like sushi. I'm at a sushi place, I don't go for shrimp. I don't eat it in anything. I think it snuck into one of my pizzas. My friend ordered a pizza and he kind of just put pizza. That's also another thing, another topic. Pizza is very different here. But anyway, so I don't eat shrimp, but any Japanese food, most Japanese foods I really like. I've tried a lot of different kinds of foods here. I've tried takoyaki, okonomiyaki, different kinds of ramens, and I have to say that most of all, I love karaage, which is like Japanese style fried chicken. And I don't even eat fried chicken a lot back in the States, but there's something about the chicken here that is just so good. It's like not too oily. It's like super juicy. If you get it at the right place, it can change your life. Like, if you come to Japan, you've got to try it. It's so good, especially with karaage with some ramen. Like, I could only maybe eat that once in a month, that combination specifically, because ramen can be really oily and salty, but karaage, if I'm like having a day, like, I can eat a lot of it. it's so good. I'm like getting hungry, a little hungry right now. So a lot of Japanese food I really, really love, but Japanese vegetables are the bomb. Like, they're amazing. Like, I don't really go out to eat here. I think I mentioned at one point in time in one of the segments that I will go out if it's an experience. If it's something I haven't had before, or if it's like with a group of friends that I really, really vibe with, I'm like, yeah, let's go try it. But I usually cook for myself, so I'll go down to the grocery store, I'll take the bus to the grocery store, and recycling is a really, really big deal here. Not just recycling, but garbage classification. So you have a garbage can for your cans, and you have a garbage can for your food waste, and a garbage can for your plastics, and burnables and non-burnables, and all these different things. So plastic bags are just kind of going out of fashion here. I think a lot of places have made them illegal. You can pay for them. I should clarify. So plastic bags are not given for free in a lot of places. You can pay like 5 yen for them, and they will give them to you. But in most grocery stores, I think you can just carry your own duffel bag. So I just take my bag with me and fill it up, and then I, buy it at the counter or whatever. But Japanese vegetables are some of the best vegetables I've ever. I don't know what it is. I don't know. But cucumbers here, they're like the perfect size. They're not too like big and chunky like the ones in America where I'm just like chewing for like a long time and my jaw gets a little tired. But yeah, I'm exaggerating. But cucumbers here are the bomb. Mushrooms here are so good. Everything tastes really fresh, which is really, really good. Not to say that American vegetables are not great. I love vegetables in general. If I could be a vegetarian and be assured that I would have like a really good, be high energy all day, then I would definitely be a vegetarian because vegetables are so good. At the same time, I do love karaage, so there's a little conflict there. yeah, so food here is just really good too. I mean, food is good anywhere, let's be honest. Okay, so last big difference regarding, I don't know, just our daily life stuff would be garbage classification. So recycling and garbage classification is really a big thing. At least in the area that I'm in, it's huge. Japan is an island. It's not small necessarily, but it's not, natural resources, things like that. Like they have to be really careful about what they're putting into this island. I mean, it's just like it's the same thing you do with your body, hopefully. Like you're very cautious about what you do to it. So here in Japan, to protect the environment and to just, keep this beautiful scenery as beautiful as it can be, they're really, really precautious. So what they do is they have a garbage can for your food product waste. They have a garbage can for your non-burnable waste, such as plastics and things like that. They have one for cans, one for pet bottles. Pet bottles are like kind of the plastic water bottle situations. They have a lot of different things, and sometimes in your sink you'll have this little. If you go to someone's house, you'll see in the sink this little bucket kind of thing. It kind of sticks to the wall of the sink, and there's a little net veneer thing inside of it. And you put the food waste, more like if you're peeling, I don't know, peeling a potato or something, you put the potato skin into that food waste basket, and then later on you will dump it into your like burnable food garbage can. And at first I thought that was so strange because in the summertime, it gets hot. If the door is open, a fly comes in, a fly lands in that little food basket, and then you got a fly problem. But here, that has only happened when one of my housemates was like not careful. Like he just was. So I live with a lot of students from. I live with like 5 other people, and we're all from different places, and we all come from different. We all have different. We have different ways that we were raised. Like I went to boarding school for a long time, and then I went away for school into the East Coast. So I, from a young age, like I knew exactly like how to take care of myself. And then my parents and my aunts and like especially the women in my family were very, very big on keeping a clean house. So I like had that in me from a really young age. Some people, they don't have that kind of training, so they just kind of do whatever. And once, one of my housemates did something, and then there were just flies and stuff like that. That's another interesting thing to talk about, is just how cleanliness in this country. Japan is a very clean country, and I think it's because they take so much care into sorting trash, where it goes, keeping kind of the space clean, because there is this concept of omoyari, which is like kind of having sympathy for something else, for someone else. And I think that's a really beautiful thing here too. And so you don't want to damage anything. You want to keep nature as beautiful as you can. Even though Japan and like cities like Tokyo, it's really rare to see like a big, forest spot. I don't know if there is in Tokyo a forested area besides like a designated park or something. But in the area that I live, like I'm on a mountain, so there's nature everywhere. And to cut down how much they are, you know, damage nature. They're really, really careful about, you know, trash and things like that. So yeah, classification is really, really big here. And at first, I think a lot of people considered it annoying. I met even Japanese people who are like, wow, that is so annoying. Like, you know, but it's, you know, it's the same thing you do with your body. Like, you don't want to just be putting anything in your body and just, like, you know, putting bad things out into your environment. So why would you do that with nature? Like, if you don't want something rotten just left in your house, like, why would you put this thing that cannot, you know, biodegrade into nature? Why would you do that to the animals and things like that? That's how I feel. But, you know, I've met people who have a lot of different stances on it. I'm a big guy for recycling, and I like this, like, splitting garbage thing. I don't know, it's nice. It's also just, like, people taking care of their surroundings and thinking of other people. I'm torn on the thinking of other people first kind of thing, for a really good reason, which I will explain later, but I think it is a very, as a place that you want to live, that's something that you maybe want to think of if you're having kids. Like, you know, will these people think of my kids? You know, they won't just, like, I don't know how to explain it properly. I'll try to explain it in another segment later on. So I didn't want to leave the last segment on a cliffhanger with me being able to unexplain things, but I will want to put this in a different episode called like cultural themes and topics, because I learned so much about Japanese culture and ways of thinking. So there is something that I will just describe kind of briefly called omoyari, and omoyari probably, I'm like 90% sure, and this is, you know, my hypothesis, but I'm 90% sure this is what it is. Okay, so it comes from two different words. One of them, omo, is a verb and it means to think, and then yari comes from yaru, which means to do. So when you put them together, it becomes omoyari, which is what I'm hoping. I'm thinking that's what it means, but I could, you know, do my research and find out later that I'm completely wrong. So don't quote me on this just yet until I further figure it out. But basically, it kind of means to have a kind of awareness of someone else before they even come into the picture. Tatoeba, for example, before you go into a convenience store in Japan, you will see an umbrella rack there, and you will see umbrellas there. And if you put your umbrella in that rack, and no one will take it. Absolutely no one will take it. And this is omoyari because the shop is thinking about the customers before they even come. You know, they have this umbrella rack there, so that way, you know, it's raining outside. It really rains. It pours in the area that I'm in. Like, when it rains, it pours in Kanazawa, and it doesn't pour for an hour or 2 hours. It pours for 3 or 4 days, which I love rain, so it's not a problem for me at all. But the fact that the convenience stores and the grocery stores have these is omoyari. They're thinking of you before you even get there. So you put your umbrella in, it dries, you know, the water drips off before you, you know, you go into the convenience store and the water dries off before you come back to grab it and you go on your merry way. Another example of omoyari is probably, I mean, they're so apparent that I've probably gotten really used to them these days. But they're everywhere. Like, if you come to Japan, you'll probably notice them right away. And just, they're kind of always thinking of how to make the experience more comfortable. And also just thinking about the customer and the consumer before they even get to the place, the destination. Which I think is a really cool concept. And why that links into, like, your kids is pretty obvious. It's self-explanatory. But, you know, if you're a person with children, you don't want your children to be, you know, harmed anyway, of course not. So maybe you want a place where the community is always thinking of each other. And there is a kind of give and take with this, which I will get into later. And I keep saying this, like, I'll get into it later, but when? Who knows? you know, the community will take care of you in certain ways, and then it won't take care of you in certain ways. So it's really dependent on what you are expecting out of your experience if you ever come to Japan, and the experience you're bringing to Japan, the kind of perspective you're bringing to Japan when you get here. Because you could find that in a place like Kanazawa, where it's a little quiet, there's not It's not America-based city at all. You know, you're not going to find a pop-in club here. You're not going to find, you know, like a disco dance room with, like, you know, we can just like take shots all night long, that kind of situation. It's going to be, maybe you'll find it, but it'll be really expensive, including like the cost of travel and things like that. But in this region, it's not like, it's definitely not New York, it's not Boston, it's not, I don't know, Los Angeles or whatever. So if you're coming for that kind of experience, you'll be a little down probably, but Japan and this area can definitely take care of you in other ways that are more wholesome. I don't know. I mean, I personally would love to go to a club and take shots until like 1 a.m. and then dip out for a cheap price if I could, but I make do with what I have, so yeah.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.